Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So this morning we have an opportunity to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's what we get to do when we worship. We create an opening in the environment that we're at, where God's presence can come, where God's favor can come into our lives and come into the service. And he can touch us with his hand of mercy and his hand of grace, his hand of healing, his hand of restoration. So this morning, as we sing and worship, let's concentrate. Let's set our hearts on things above. Let's set our hearts on what he is doing in our lives at this very moment. Not what he's done in the past, but also what he's doing. Not just what he's done in the past, but what he's doing in this moment and what he plans to do in our lives tomorrow. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together. You would just allow us, Lord, to hear your voice in this service, to be led by your spirit in this service, Lord, and to, Lord, love you, God, that we would be able to praise you and open up those gates, Lord, and open up those courts, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we just thank you that you're working in each and every life here. You're working in my life, Lord. You're working in everyone's life. And Lord, I pray that there would be an attitude of gratitude, Lord, that we would return back to you this morning. An attitude of love and gratitude, Lord. We know those are powerful forces, God, that you've enabled us to do. So we just set our hearts and we set our minds on you right now.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name.
The sun comes.
yourself to me, and that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Scripture in Romans 8 that says that we no longer have a slave of fear again to bondage, but we have the slave, that we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry Abba Father, whereby we cry Daddy Daddy. And so when we sing this morning, I want you to think about that he's your, not just your father, your heavenly father, he's your dad. He's your heavenly dad. He's the one that you can sit on his lap. He's the one that you can go and cry when you skin your knee. I know that sounds weird for some of us who are adults. You know, it's like, oh, well, we don't do that. But in the spirit, we do. In our soul, we ache. We hurt. Things happen in our lives that you don't want to have happen, but they happen. And how we respond to those, whether we break out on somebody or we go to our Heavenly Father who cares about us, makes a difference. So as we sing this, keep in mind that he's making us like him. He's transforming us. Oops.
And something else that I was thinking along those lines is that orphans, you don't like to think of them as being in bondage, but in a way, if they're orphaned and in an orphanage, that's exactly what they're in. They can't leave. They have nowhere to go. But because he frees us from that bondage, when we say yes, God, yes to him, that bondage is gone. And we can become his very own. And remember that story I read about the little girl that was thinking she was going to be left behind and not get to go to Disney World because she just knew that she was, because she was adopted, that she wasn't going to be treated by like the real kids. But she got to go, and when that night when she realized it was because she was his girl, her daddy was hers. And that's how we need to look at God and not think of it as when we're bad or naughty or whatever, we lose our place in him. That's not like it at all. If anything, it's like, hey, it's okay. I'm still gonna take you to Disney World. You're still gonna get to go and have the coolest ride of your life. It's still gonna be okay. That's kind of like what he's saying to us. It's still gonna be okay. You know, just turn away from that. Do what's right and let's move on and move on where we were. Not, we don't have to go backwards in this thing. And that's so exciting to my heart. So exciting. Because I know when my own natural biological kids bum me out, it's like I'm a grudge holder. And thank the good Lord, he is not a grudge holder. He is nothing like me. And he gives me hope that I cannot be a grudge holder. Do you know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and...
It's good news.
What?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go and switch mics. Good job. Oops. I forgot to help you down. Praise the Lord. you, Jesus. At the end of the service, we're going to honor moms. I do want to...
Happy Mother's Day,
yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Said to a lot of folks already, so, but Happy Mother's Day. I want to read you a text from Roger Rowe. They weren't able to be here today. Said,
is it serious?
No, it's not serious. Oh, okay. Mike, we will be absent this morning. Give all the mothers a hug and tell them, I hug most of you, how much they are appreciated and that their prayers still move mountains.
Amen.
Amen.
Love that.
Your prayers still move mountains.
Okay,
kids are mountains officially.
Yeah, before we get into the serious, though, I have a couple little cute things I want to read about Mother's Day. My mother had just finished taking a CPR class at the local college when she and I were in the mall and saw a big crowd gathered around a still body. Mom took off running at a speed I didn't know she could muster, yelling, "Everyone back! I know CPR!" Just as she threw herself next to the body and was about to begin, a pair of strong hands pulled her to her feet. "Ma'am," said the police officer, "we are trying to arrest this man." That's funny, isn't it? Okay, now this is another one. My mother, a master of guilt trips, showed me a photo of herself waiting by a phone that never rings. "Mom, I call all the time," I said. "If you had an answering machine, you'd know." Soon after, my brother installed one for her. When I called the next time, I got the machine. And this is how it answered. "If you're a salesperson, please press 1. If you're a friend, please press 2. If you're my daughter who never calls, press 911 because the shock will probably give me a heart attack." So happy Mother's Day, mamas.
Whoops. Yes, happy Mother's Day. Does your voice feel like up to reading today?
I'm going to try.
Okay. So today we're going to talk about good news. How many people like good news versus bad news, right? I mean, you know.
That saying,
and
I don't think the
press has caught up with that yet.
I guess
when it comes to our own personal lives, we'd like to hear good news. When it comes to others, we like to hear about their bad news. I don't know what that is. Seems like kind of a fallen nature type of thing. Don't you think, Jess? And Jesse's up there, by the way, guys. He's running the sound. Welcome back, Jesse. I'm going to be really excited the day that you say you're 100%. Right? Amen. So we're going to talk about good news today. And the phrase good news and the term that's used in the Greek... I did some studying. It wasn't used much at all. It wasn't a term that was used, and even in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for good news wasn't used that much. But in the New Testament, the word good news in the New Living Translation is like over 150 times. So we have a message of good news. We've heard a message of good news, and now we have a message of good news. So. Let's take a look at a few verses. Well, quite a few verses. We got quite a few verses to go through, so try not to go too long.
Matthew 4:23. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness.
So here we have in the very beginning of the Gospels, Matthew, this is when Jesus was really starting his public ministry. And it says that he traveled throughout the regions of Galilee and he was going through the synagogues and he was announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. Another place it says kingdom of God. So the good news message is about the kingdom of God. It's not just about that we just get saved. It's also about what it means to be saved. It means that we're in his kingdom now. We're in his domain. We're in his dominion. We have a king that's over us, that watches over us, and a father that watches over us. That's some of the news that Jesus brought. Some people think that, you know, the gospel is just only associated with Jesus Christ dying on a cross, going to the grave, and being resurrected. And because of that, it saves our souls. And that is part of it. But that's like that doorway, that gateway. And Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. And what does that mean now that that's happened? There's good consequences now because of what Jesus did for us. Okay, let's go ahead and look at the term good news. I'll go ahead and do this part since it's kind of hard to read. Yeah. So it's the word Strong's, and it's the word eugelion, and it means a good message. That is the gospel. And it's if we look here at the Help Word Studies, it's based on two Greek words. And you, that means well done, or greatly done, or job well done. When you could say you could tell somebody they were doing a good job. And it also means angeliso, which, what does that sound like? Angel? Mm-hmm. Another name for good news, gospel, is evangel. Oh, mm-hmm. That's where we get the word evangel. It's like that you turned into an EV, an angel. So a good news is a good messenger, or God's good news literally is what it can mean. It includes the entire Bible. This is what I was saying. It's not just limited to how a person becomes a Christian, that we get saved. It includes everything that God has done for us since he has created us.
Right.
That's the good news. All right. So let's keep going.
Matthew 24:14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come.
So the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. What end is that? Well, that's the end when Christ comes back. And so Jesus is declaring here to his disciples, he's communicating because they were asking questions about, you know, when's this temple going to be destroyed that you just talked about, and when's the signs of your coming? He's saying that the good news is going to go throughout the whole world. It's going to be preached. And so that the whole world hears it, all the nations hear it, and then the end will come. So that is one of the signs that we know that when the end will come, is that when all of the world has heard, when every nation has heard. Some people say that that's only a few years away. I don't know. But, you know, with technology and with satellite imagery and everything, I bet, you know, if there's, you know, a tribe someplace that's still hidden, I mean, they can see now from satellite, there's smoke rising, and they know where to go to look for a potential tribe. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's one of the signs. Mm-hmm. In Mark, it says in two different verses about the good news. Go ahead. Mark. Yep.
Mark 1:1, this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began. Mark 1:14, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news.
Where he preached God's good news. So Mark is starting off his gospel by saying, this is the good news about Jesus. The whole gospel that I'm about to give you is the good news. And that good news is later in 1:14, he's describing that Jesus is preaching God's good news. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving us some groundwork here. Okay, Luke 4:18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free.
So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the same scripture that is in Isaiah, and they handed the scroll of Isaiah to Jesus when he went into the temple synagogue on a day, and he unrolled it and he read this part. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news." I don't know if he emphasized me, but I would if I was reading it and I was the one fulfilling it. Anointed me to bring good news. Anointed him to bring the good news to the poor. Notice the good news was to the poor. And I think that's an interesting concept, because the poor isn't just poor financially. Did you guys know that? Even though back then, the poor who lived poorly were very poor.
Very,
I mean, they did not have a whole lot of hope. And so, but the poor today is also poor in spirit, poor in soul, brokenhearted, poor in emotions, you know, from traumas that has happened. That I believe that is part of the poor that Jesus is talking about. But the good news comes to those who are poor. It doesn't come necessarily to those who are rich. And why is that? Why do you think? Because most people, I'll answer it for you. Most people rich don't need anything. Most people who are rich say, "I've got it all covered. I'm all good."
So they think. Because I was just sitting here thinking, if there are people that are poor in spirit, that could be a rich person.
Mm-hmm.
Could be poor in spirit.
Absolutely.
I mean, I used to be a realtor, and I used to walk into $1-2 million homes and think to myself, "Wow, if I had this house and they had a feather, we'd both be tickled to death." But I wouldn't trade their life for anything if their life was all about the sticks and the mortar and the stuff. You know what I mean? I wouldn't trade it for anything, because I know deep in me what I have. And I know that nothing on this earth compares at all to any $2 million home. It just doesn't. There's just no way. Because what I have is everlasting. What I have is forever. And no
Amen.
One can take that from me. And fire or mudslide or whatever could take that from that rich person. You know what I mean? So
you have an eternal connection.
I do.
You have an eternal weight of glory where that is a temporal thing.
So when Jesus was looking out, was he looking out on Jerusalem and he was really sad for them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, because it was all Jerusalem, it just wasn't the poor section.
It was all of Jerusalem.
It was all of Jerusalem. And I'm thinking,
and he wanted to gather them.
Yeah, he wanted to gather them and save them and help them. But
he uses a motherly expression, actually.
He does.
Wanted to gather
like
them,
a mother gathers her chicks. And to me, it's almost like I can see, and I know this sounds really strange, but I can almost see supernaturally all of these sad hearts and hurt feelings and just ones that need goodness. I could just see that he could see all of that, not just the poor side of the city. He saw it all and wanted to gather them all. And I'm like, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Amen. Acts 8:4.
But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went.
So this is after Jesus has rose from the dead. He was with the disciples for about 40 days after he rose from the dead. And he ended up communicating to them the great commission of what they were to do. And so they went back and they waited in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. They started preaching the gospel, and they were basically just radicalizing Jerusalem and that whole area, Galilee and everything, was being transformed. What ended up happening is that they started being persecuted. And so as these believers were being persecuted, they scattered. And as they scattered to Samaria and other places like that, the good news of Jesus went with them. They communicated this good news that they were given. Acts 14:15.
Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn away from these worthless things and turn to the living God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them.
So this is Paul and his companion, and they're basically like distraught because they were working some miracles because Jesus was with them and he was working signs and wonders with them. And the people were getting ready to make a sacrifice to them because they were gods in their eyes, and they ripped their clothes. And then Paul says, what are you doing? We're trying to bring good news. We're trying to get you to leave this immature way of thinking about God, that you have to sacrifice something to him. He loves you and you're his sons and daughters. I mean, that's what Paul's trying to communicate to them, that they need to turn from their worthless idols and turn to a living God, someone that knows everything about them. Okay, this is going to be a little bit longer, but this is the story of the first Gentile, which, unless you're a Jew in here, you're a Gentile, means that you're not of a Hebrew lineage. And the Hebrews, as I think we talked about this a little bit last week for just a moment, how the Hebrews and the Jews were the first ones to receive the gospel. And they basically were not allowed in their laws to associate with people who were not Jewish. And if you remember right, Jesus was actually going to go into someone's house a few weeks ago in my message, who said, oh, okay, yeah, I'll come to your house. And the centurion says, oh, no, I'm not worthy to have you come to my roof, you know. And he just say the word. But so this is Peter after he has been basically convinced by the Holy Spirit that he's to go with these men who came to his house. And now he's back at Cornelius' house and this incident takes place. So go ahead.
Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea. Some say Judea, whichever.
I know.
Beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven throughout his name. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days.
So Peter says back up here in verse 36, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel. So he was saying, this is the message of the good news for the people of Israel. And so he starts to communicate to them what happened. And that was that Jesus that Jesus went about first he says that John brought his message of baptism, of repentance, and then that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit with power and went about doing good and healing all who and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Then he says, and we are the apostles, we witness this. And God raised him up on the third day after he was hung on a cross. And then he appeared up to many, but not to the general public, to them, up to 40 days afterwards. I guess what I'm trying to say here is that Peter is communicating the good news to the first time to the Gentile people. And what it boils down to is that, as it said in all the prophets in verse 43, get here, says in all the prophets, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. So there you go. That's the bottom line of what he's trying to say, is that who believes in his name, you're going to have your sins forgiven. That it's the prophets before time said what was going to happen, and this is what the prophets said. And Jesus Christ is Messiah, and he is the one for all the world. Peter's now saying all the world, not just the Jews. That the Gentiles, I don't know what, because he did tell them to go to all nations, right? Matthew 28, go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they had that commission. But they must have thought, well, it must mean that, you know, they're just going to maybe be able to hang around us. I don't know what, they may be able to come into us. When the Holy Spirit fell, it broke his mode of operandi, because it said, I have no respecter of persons anymore. Jew, Gentile alike, I am the good news to all mankind. I am the Savior of all mankind. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? That was a lot. Nobody?
I just want to kind of make a point, because it says that when Jesus appeared, he appeared to us who witnessed about him. And I can hear just in people's minds saying, well, what makes that true then? What makes that? That's just somebody's account. What makes that true? And if you go to 44, this is what I love, this phrase. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell.
He didn't even get to finish his message.
He didn't even get to finish or try to convince or anything. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we believe these things. That's why.
That's well said.
That's why it says that, you know, everything that Jesus did, the Bible can't contain it all. That's why there will always be new things about God being revealed in our spirit. And it's not that all of us will see it. There may just be a few. And then when it's witnessed, that's why you've seen over the years why it went from one religion to a split, and then it became this religion, that religion, this religion, and then there was a split here, and it went, you know, like, because it used to be, I can't remember how it goes, but like it was Church of God, and then some people split off, became Assembly of God, and some people split off, became Foursquare. You understand what I'm saying? Because of differences. But it's, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit gave witness to what was being said. That's how we know, is the Holy Spirit in us. And that's where we can trust when people say something about...
Well, how do you know?
How do you know? And it's good to question. The Word tells us we're supposed to question. It's a good thing to question. But you, the Holy Spirit in you will ring the truth in deep in your spirit. Will ring the truth. Even if it appears to be a little out there, like I'm sure some of those Jewish people hearing their own language coming from a Gentile that didn't even know how to speak it were like, what? You know? But the Spirit, because God's Spirit's deposited in every person. That's what it says, right? Mm-hmm. In the scripture. It's deposited. The Spirit of God is the true ring in there that says, oh, hey, even though I don't get it, I get it, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Something rings true in my spirit there. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say? So even if things are said, or let's say a guest speaker comes and says something that's like, I've never heard that before. Like, what makes that so true? You know, where's that found in the Bible? We can believe in the Spirit of God in us. We have to trust the Spirit of God in us, is what it comes down to.
Well, he's called the Spirit of Truth. So we have the Spirit of Truth in us. Now, does that mean that we can't be deceived? No, we can be deceived. We can be deceived by not allowing the Word of God to, first of all, be our number one anchor, and then the Spirit of God revealing to us in our hearts that reality is true. So if someone, like you said, brings something new, I've never heard that before. Is that even in the Bible? You know, well, you know, I've heard somebody say this before, and it's really kind of telling. Are cell phones in the Bible? Right? But we use cell phones all the time, right? I mean, there's things that you know, and as you know, the world has changed. The Christian church at times has said, oh, that's of the devil, you know. And then, you know, after a while, they just use it like normal. You know, I don't know how the phone was first addressed. You know, probably some people, don't touch that. You know, it's like because they were talking to somebody, you know, someplace else. You know, I can just see that there probably were Christians that were a little spooked over the telephone, you know, or television, you know. Anything can be used by the enemy, you know, but it can also be used for the glory of God.
Exactly.
You know, I know many people who have, you know, had very difficult times with Facebook and had people, you know, exploit them and bully them and do all kinds of stuff. But then there's other people on Facebook who are preaching the gospel and sharing the love of God and helping people through crisis. So, I mean, you know, you can't just say that something is like, you know, of the devil if God is also using it for his glory.
Right.
I think anything can be redeemed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Good. All right. So Romans 1:1-4.
This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son in his earthly life. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So here we now have Paul communicating that he wants to tell the Romans about the good news. He wants to preach this good news, and the good news has been from long ago. It wasn't just, you know, it didn't just show up when Jesus came. That's one thing that a lot of people don't understand. They think, well, when Jesus came, that's when the good news came. No, the good news came through all the prophets. The good news actually came from when Adam and Eve first fell. God said, you know, this serpent that has just messed you up, there's going to be one that comes from your lineage, Eve, and he is going to crush his head. The enemy will try to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush his head. And that was one of like the first prophetic utterances that came out about Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry, about Messiah being the one that would redeem mankind by crushing the head of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where are we at here? Yeah. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4.
If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Sorry, it cut off on mine.
Oh. So he's saying that if you're sharing your life with someone, you're sharing the good news with someone, that Jesus Christ has saved you. I think we need to make it personal. What has God done for us? He's delivered us. He saved us. And when you make it about that person, well, you're a sinner and you're separated from God. You make them feel condemned. The devil already makes them feel condemned. Give them a message that yes, Jesus Christ is the Savior of all mankind, and He saved my life. He saved my soul. He brought me out of darkness, and He gave me a new start. He gave me a new beginning. And so if you're communicating that and someone's like going, what? What are you talking about? I don't understand. And you're thinking, well, they just need to be convinced. So you can keep hammering and, okay, well, let me just tell you another way, because obviously, you're not getting it. And so, you come about it another way and they're still going like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, keep in mind that it's very possible that they're behind a veil. Because I was behind a veil for years. I had people tell me about Jesus, and I would just listen. I thought, wow, that sounds like some kind of mythological story, because, I knew about the Greek gods, and so that's what Jesus sounded. I mean, I saw on TV, him dying on a cross, but to me it was like, no different than watching Star Wars. And back then they didn't have Star Wars, but I'm trying to say, make a point.
Star Trek,
yeah. I mean, it was just a story. But once the veil was taken away,
right.
And it was taken away, I was able to finally see who Jesus was. And at that point, nobody needed to convince me. My heart was ready to receive. The Holy Spirit had already convicted me of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So we don't have to beat the good news over the head with people, because then you know what it becomes? It becomes bad news. If you're taking a baseball bat and working somebody over with the gospel, and it's called good news, and you're slamming them till you break them down, they finally, they say, oh, I give up, I'll agree. They may agree for now because they're getting tired of getting beat up. They walk out the door. Their heart hadn't changed. You think you conquered one. I got one. Chalk one up for God, It's the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you. I mean, I've been around. I've seen. I'm unfortunately I'm being someone that's being bad on myself, because I've done that kind of stuff through the years. It's like you get a soul saved, and I mean, fortunately by the time I was communicating with Zeke, I'd been through some of that type of stuff, but. In the olden days, that's you chalk one up on your belt. You hit the streets and you find a dirty, rotten sinner, and you beat them with the gospel until they yield. I don't know whatever fruit came out of any of that. Maybe stuff did. God could still use a donkey. He could probably use me at that point.
Yeah, that's right. I remember hearing a little joke about a guy that said, have you, he was talking with a friend, and the friend was asking, have you ever led anybody to the Lord? And he says, no, I think I'm going to wait till the very end. And when I'm on my way up, I'm going to grab the collar of two sinners. And as we're going on up, I'm going to say, okay, either believe in Jesus or I let go.
Good grief. There's some grace and love right there.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. There you have it.
So it says here about the good news, though. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. When I was able to see the gospel for what it was, it's like Jesus and God and Holy Spirit all came together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I just knew that Jesus was God. You probably had heard some people, well, I can believe God, but this Jesus, I don't know. I don't know about Jesus, but I can believe God, But and part of it is being because Jesus has been misrepresented for 2,000 years by some folks. Sorry to say. I mean, there has been some misrepresentation of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
That he is mad at us, and that he is just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can stomp on us like a bug. I mean, mm-hmm. Or that, his love is conditional.
Mm-hmm.
I will love you as long as you're a good kid. As long as you don't color outside the lines, then I'm not going to love you anymore. I mean, there's there's been that type of representation of God, and God is love. So he can't stop loving. If we're messing up, he still loves us. Whether we're spotless and holy and righteous in our own works, because we're yielding and surrendering to his love, and we're able to walk the straight line, or whether we're messing it up over in the garbage dumps. You know, when the prodigal son was over getting ready to eat the hog food, did his father love him any less?
No.
And that was an earthly father Jesus was talking about. So how much more heavenly father when we're off in the pig slop? Mm-hmm. He loves us. Mm-hmm. And he's longing for us to come back to where he can have relationship with us, and he can restore us to our authority and our place of righteousness. Okay, Galatians. Want to get to the
1:6-9. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preached to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed.
So Paul, again, is saying here to the Galatians, I'm shocked that you're turning away so quickly from this good news that I gave you. And what happened was, is that people from Jerusalem who were Christians and were Jews and kept all of the laws along with their Christianity, which Paul says in Romans, hey, if you want to do that, you can do that. And if your heart is condemned, if you don't do that, then by all means do that. But then they were coming to the new Gentile Christians and saying, okay, it's time to be circumcised. It's time to eat this type of food. You can't eat shrimp. You can't eat crab. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, shrimp was out, Zeke. You can't eat ham. Nice smothered ham and pineapple. You can't have, no bacon. I mean, it was like horrible stuff that the Jews had to do. And that's what Paul is saying. I can't believe that you've turned away from this. You're following a different good news. It's pretending to be good news, but it's not good news at all. You're being fooled. So if you have someone come up to you and say, well, I know you know the Lord, but I mean, you know, you need to add these things to your Christianity to really be a Christian, you know. And if even in this kind of stuff, as someone says, you know, you really need to be reading your Bible every day, probably at least a half hour. And if you're not doing that, you know, I don't know if you're really, you know, being a Christian. I don't even know if, you know, and if you're going to be saved. Oh, let's add another half hour prayer. Just take an hour in the morning and you read a half hour in the Bible and a half hour prayer. And you know what? I think you're going to be good. Because it's worked for me. It's how I've kept my walk alive and vibrant. So you really need to do that. Guess what? You've just now gotten good news that's pretending to be good news. Folks, you've just got bad news. If the Holy Spirit's saying to you, son, I want you to wake up tomorrow morning and spend a half hour with me, because I got some really good stuff to share. I got some amazing things to tell you. Or if you in your heart say, Lord, I want to know you more. You know, I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to try to set aside a half hour every day. That's all fine. But is Zeke going to come to me and say, hey, Mike, I'm going to tell you what you need to do with your wife to have a good relationship? I'm going to say, Zeke, do you even know my wife? Do you even know our relationship? You see what I'm saying? Yet that's what people are trying to do with our relationship with God. They're trying to come in and say, hey, I know how to have a good relationship with Dad. You know, he loves to go fishing. I've used this expression before. So what you need to do is go fishing with him. You know, and you're telling this to a sis. I don't like fishing. But that's the way you have a good relationship with Dad. He loves fishing. No, he loves fishing with you. And you think he wants to fish with all the kids. See, it's all about a personal relationship. Just like all of our individual relationships are personal. Not one person can tell somebody else how to have a relationship with another individual. We can give you pointers. Don't yell at people. That's a good idea. You know, don't slap them in the face. That's another good idea.
Don't beat your wife.
Don't beat your wife. You know, what's that? Yeah. The point being is that we can have a real relationship that is good news, but there is a false good news out there and people try to present that. Right, Jesse? Saw Jesse shaking his head. Okay, this is the final one, and then we're going to bless the moms. Okay, go ahead.
Romans 1, 15 through 17. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
So in it, the gospel, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed. So it's not that your righteousness reveals the good news in you. It's the good news that reveals the righteousness of God in us. Yeah. So by faith, we receive by faith his full righteousness. There's not one thing, Zeke, I've told you this before, I've got to tell myself, there's not one thing I can do in this life that makes me any more righteous than I am right now. When I received Christ, I received his full righteousness by faith. Now, I didn't know it when I first received Christ, but I know it now that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so it's good news that we receive righteousness. It's bad news that we have to be righteous to make it right with God. Christ made us right with God on the cross. We, by faith, believe that. We then receive that same righteousness. It's when we think we need to add things to stay right that now we re-nail him to the cross. Because it's necessary then for him to die again for us, because now we're in our own works. And guess what? Our own works don't measure up. So there is a good news that we all have. And if we haven't received the good news, it's only by faith we receive it. We believe. We believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was God. He left his heavenly abode. He came in the form of man. He came in as a little baby. And he submitted himself to mankind to care for him, to feed him, to diaper him, to teach him and raise him up in the fear and admonition of God. It says that he grew in favor with God and man as Jesus grew. And then probably around the age of 30, we believe that Jesus Christ was set into public ministry. And he was then ordained and christened as the Son of God by God himself when he came out of the waters of baptism. Mm-hmm. He went throughout all Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee, and he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. You have a heavenly Father. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to have a relationship with you. I'm here representing him. Let me show you what he thinks of you. Heal, 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 heal. He healed all who were oppressed of the devil. There's nobody that he was turning away. And so then the Jews gnashed their teeth, gritted all the way to Pilate and said, we're going to crucify this guy. They got the crowd to agree with it. He went to the cross. Then he went to the grave and then he rose. And because he did that, we now can have that good news imparted to our hearts. Mm-hmm. And back when I was 19, I received it.
Right.
And I started following Christ. But that's all we have to believe in. We don't have to believe that, okay, I have to go to church every single Sunday, or at least 2.3 times a month. I mean, that's not what we're believing. We're believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all mankind. And that means he's my Savior. And now once you've received him as your Savior, you can receive him as your Lord. You can receive him as your friend. You can receive him as your Father. You can receive him as God with you, God in you, God through you. And as your relationship grows, guess what? You grow together.
Right. I do want to bring up a point that not letting anybody off the hook. If Holy Spirit is speaking to you and is saying to you, that friend that you've had is going through a hard time, you need to go over and share the good news, then we need to be very obedient. But I want us all to remember something really, really important, is our actions speak louder than our words. And if in between Sundays we're living like hell, to come to church on Sunday to ask God to forgive us, to go back into that in between Sunday again, and they're watching that, your lifestyle evangelism just flushed down the toilet, because they're not going to want what you have if it's superficial, if it's getting by the skin of your teeth. A lot of times, and we are right in the midst of a huge opportunity of speaking to someone that means something to both of us very deeply. And we've known this person for over 30 years, and they're just now asking, will you come and tell me about our life? They've watched for 30 years, guys. Our life, well, I guess not 30, 25. Our life, they've been watching.
Long time.
A very long time. They've known who we are. We've never choked Jesus down anybody's throat, ever. And they've seen this. And they've suffered spiritual hurt in their lives in the last few years. And now they're like, I want to know more. I need more. Your very life could be what's drawing people to that good news. Herman, what is it about you that makes you capable of being able to handle this blow like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're watching. And we want to be able to say with our whole heart, here's the good news, if it's that time. But in the meantime, our actions, our non-spoken words are speaking loud and clear. And we have to remember that.
So how do we keep our actions from being betraying the message of the good news? We make it so that Jesus is the center of our life. Because if he is the center, then we're going to respond to him in a relationship where we're not going to want to act out. But it is a transformative process. And how many know that you've been being changed from glory to glory, but it's sometimes week to week, month to month, year to year, because it's when our heart's ready. And yes, I know that we can be a stumbling block to people if we don't respond to people with a heart like Christ. But that can only come from the Spirit. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm never going to, you know, cause anybody to stumble and try to do it in your own strength. Because it says that you're trying to activate the law, and when you activate the law, you actually activate the sin nature. So it's better to say, you know what, Lord, help me to be a good example for others. When Holy Spirit, when I'm getting ready to mess up, speak to my heart so I don't go through with it. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll honor the mothers. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that you are the good news to our lives. And Lord, I pray that for anyone here, Lord, that's having a difficult time of fully receiving, Lord, your good news, the full message of the gospel, that it's by faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Lord, that it's your grace, Lord, that we believe in, and your faith, God, that we have, Lord, that you are the one that saves us. You are the one that delivers us. You are the one that keeps us on the straight and narrow. Lord, if anyone's having a problem believing that, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and encourage their heart. If anyone here, Lord, or hears my voice right now, and they know they need to submit to the good news that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that Jesus Christ is waiting to forgive them of every wrongdoing, everything they have ever committed and will commit in the future, Lord, that would be released right now, Holy Spirit, into their hearts and their minds. And we just thank you for this time together. I bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask all of the mothers to come forward. Mothers. We really appreciate mothers, because without mothers, us guys wouldn't be here. We value your commitment to us and your ability to love us when we've been unlovely, when we've rejected your love. You've been there to support us and to encourage us. So let's just first of all thank the mothers that are here. All the mothers that couldn't be here today, we just thank you. And right now, stretch forth a hand. Father, we just bless, Lord, your daughters. Lord, we bless them, God, with just wisdom to continue to be the women of God, the mothers that you've called them to be. Lord, we bless them with encouragement for their hearts. Lord, that when especially the children, Lord, look like they're turning another way, Lord, that you would allow them to hold on tight, God, to your promises. Hold on tight, Lord, to that you are going to work it out, Lord, for their good. Lord, I pray right now, God, that any of these mothers, Lord, that have been suffering with any condemnation, Lord, because of activity of their children or any of their family members, Lord, I pray that you would remind them, Lord, that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we just bless them now. We bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for their lives. We thank you for their dedication and their commitment. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so over here we have faith, hope, and love. No, but there's other ones in here. There's, what are these now? These are hanging deal? Some are for your garden or your wall. So if you don't have a garden, you can get one for your wall. Like this one's, friends are the flower in the garden of life. That definitely is not for a guy. That's right. This is for women only. Now, if you know a mom and you want to take one to her, because we have a lot, please come up and take one after the mothers. Come on up, and you guys choose first. Come on. Yeah, take one to your mom. And praise the Lord. Get one. So again, any of you guys who want to take one for a mother and bless them, absolutely do that, please. And remember, no, hello, not doing it. Never mind, I was going to say, it's not going forward. Remember that you have good news. The good news is not something that you have to try to memorize. It's in you. Let the Holy Spirit truth speak through you. Well, God bless you all. You have a great day and a happy Mother's Day.